For he is the victor of Calvary. We are only waiting for the moment when everything will be subject to him and he will reign as king and proclaim his victory here on earth. As we have often said, he conquered death and hell. He rose again on the third day. And through his resurrection, we too have been justified. And therein also lies our guarantee for our resurrection. In his ascension, our rapture into glory is anchored. Everything happened for our sake, so that God would carry out his plan and has sons and daughters around him for all eternity, as he planned when he created man. We heard a wonderful word last night, the word in comparison to the birthright. After all, the comparison began with Cain and Abel, with the two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of death. It continued via Esau and Jacob, up to Jesus and Judas. We found that it is all God's grace when he chooses someone. No one can take credit for anything and say, I deserve it. Brother Branham also pointed this out so clear. On the outside, Esau was a fine person, took care for his dad, did all the good things. And Jacob, we would say in today's German, he was a rascal. But one thing was in his heart. He knew that with the birthright came the blessing of God. Whatever the cost, I want to have the birthright blessing. It is written of our Lord that he is the firstborn among many brethren. Of him it is written, he is the firstborn from the dead. We could read so many scriptures, but since the sermon is still quite long, I will continue with the sermon.
Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God working among his church. But they said, I couldn't do that. This man said, they'd make me Pentecostal. They'd make me, he said, my reputation would be ruined. Oh, brother, I ain't got no reputation. I'm thinking about his. Amen. His reputation. That's the one. But see how close they can come to it, you know? And count the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified with. A thing that sanctified him and took him out of the world and tried to put him over in here. And then he looks upon it and has the knowledge of it to turn away from it. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, said the Bible, but a fearful looking for the judgment and a fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Under two or three witnesses, how much more punishment and sore punishment, though worthy a minister who has trod the blood of Jesus Christ under his feet after receiving the knowledge of the truth. And counted it an unholy thing. See where we're at? Jesus said, be careful. See how Judas was? He was right with them. He was the Esau made greater for this age. He was the deceiver, the impersonator made greater for this age. Here he come right up to again a brother of Jesus. A pretended brother. But in his heart, he was with the old carnal church all the time because that's where he sold Jesus to. He sold Jesus his birthrights. Just just as much as Esau did for a mess of pottage. He sold his birthrights for 30 pieces of silver. Many a man and woman today has sold out their spiritual birthright for some popularity. Some little thing of the world you never overcome. Some little women are wearing of makeup and bobbing of hair. Wearing short clothes. Man, for little dirty jokes and smoking cigarettes. Something of the world. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not in you, said the Bible. I don't want to hurt you, but we're up to the end. We're coming up now. We're coming up the ladder quickly. See how it is? They do it. They're predestinated. They might impersonate and be just as sweet and humble, just as close like Christians, so close that would deceive the very elect. But by their fruit you shall know them. A woman with shorts on never looked like a Christian to me.
No.
The Bible said it's a sinful and a shameful thing for a woman to cut her hair. Only one woman in the Bible ever painted her face is Jezebel.
Yes, Lord.
How about man? You man is supposed to be Christian man and let your wives do that.
Yes,
when God will hold you responsible for it.
Yes.
Not man. Carnal. Oh, I'll go out then and join this church. Think about it. That's just exactly what the Scripture said they would do. And that's just exactly what they've done. And that's what they will do. Compromise. Someone said, Billy, if you don't stop that, you'll run everybody away. There's one thing that won't go, the Holy Spirit, because it's His Word. And the real predestinated believer won't go away. Because it's food to his soul. He loves it. Nothing can keep him away from it. He'll do anything like Jacob. But he wants that birthright. He'll stand there. I don't care if it costs every friend he's got. If it costs his job. If it costs his church membership. If it costs everything, he'll still hold to it. Because he can't help it. There's something in him. Moving him. The deep calling to the deep. Oh.
Praise the Lord.
There you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Something in him. Look, anything you want to find in the Bible, pick it up here. Go back to Genesis to see where it hatched out of. See where it come to all the spirits and moves today. Go back to Genesis. That's what we've done to prove to you these things that you're seeing, friends. Don't forget that. Don't let it go over top of your head. Let it soak into you. That's the things of God.
Hallelujah.
It come to a head. And Jesus predicted it would come to a head again in the last days. And it would be by this, the seal of God and the mark of the beast. Two spiritual powers working together. Now, anyone knows that the seal of God is the birthright. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of your redemption. When they were born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new birth. We know that. You're begotten of the Spirit. I'll admit that. But until you're born, there's a baby begotten in its mother's womb. It's got one kind of life. That's a life that's little... The little cells in its body's twisting and kicking and jumping like that. But when it's born, it has a like that. And then it squeals out.
Yes.
It becomes a living soul.
Yes.
And a baby can go to church and say, well, I believe in church. I'll go. I'll do this. And I'm a good... I want to do right. But what it needs is a gospel spank to wake it up.
Yes.
To squeal the eternal life. And the Holy Spirit screams in it. I could never scream before.
Yeah.
And it's a new creature. It's born of the Spirit. Then begins to grow, move, and have its being in God. See, just as a baby, natural baby, has its being in the world. Then if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. See, this is sure as the natural body was coming forth, there's a spiritual body to receive it when it dropped from its mother. And when it drops from the mother earth, which is it's in the womb of it now, groaning, crying. Oh, God, groaning, laboring, getting old and sickness and everything, besetting it, and a spirit on the inside of it looking for a land beyond the river.
Amen.
It's groaning, twisting, jumping. Yes, sir, because there's a life in there that lives forever. It's in a body that's got to die. Sometime this is a mother dropped the natural baby in the spiritual body. Got it? The earth will drop in the body of the natural will drop and the physical body or the celestial body will grab it, Yonder. But this earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. We have one waiting. That's the reason you forget the things of the world. They're dead to you. There's the Spirit. Now watch it as we move on now. The two spirits. The Holy Ghost is the new birth. We know that. It's being born again of the Spirit of God. That's how you're born, by the Spirit. Born by the Spirit. That's the new birth. All right. You're begotten of the Spirit. Then when you're born of the Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. Then when these two are in the earth, the natural and the spiritual, sometimes I've seen this now in closing. I want to come to a close now by saying this for a few minutes. In the natural or in the spiritual, either one. Now, I hope that everyone catches this. Now, be just as quiet and reverent as you can. Now, have you ever seen this? You see in our churches today, even in the groups where we have separated ourselves and made organizations, and we've seen all of this. And you've seen a man pick up a certain scripture. And brother, that man can take that scripture and make it live new. Make it live just exactly what it promised you in the Bible. And the next man will see him do it, and he'll come around and try to do it and fail. I hope you're reading now. He'll fail. Why? The scripture is not inspired to him. He's only trying to impersonate. He's trying to act like something. He watched, well, maybe he was sent by man. Maybe some man said, well, you can do the same thing. Just like Jesus said it would be this way. The Bible predicts it in the last days as Jambres and Jambes which stood Moses.
Amen.
There stood Moses and there stood Jambes. And Moses threw down his rod. And he become a serpent. Well, Pharaoh said, come here, Jambes, you can do the same thing. And he did. See? But what happened? Then Moses' rod eat up the rod of his. See? It was made manifest. Where was his rod? Just like superstition perception. It's like some of the spiritualism. It's like some of these churches that they believe carnal way away. The things that they say, well, that was for another day. They're all together out. But watch this spirit in the last days go to impersonate the real spirit.
Yeah.
See? That's where your trouble's coming. Just exactly like the one that's real. See? But he couldn't make it manifest. He couldn't make it hold. He couldn't make it last.
Amen.
Oh, God. Amen. People come up and say, I got the Holy Ghost too. Look the way they live. It don't last. From one revival to another. From one meeting to another.
Yeah.
It's made manifest. They haven't got it. If a man's born of the Spirit of God or a woman, they have the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
They walk godly. They live that life. See? Yeah. They keep away from the things of the world. God moves in them and makes himself manifest and proves that he's God working in there. The other is impersonating. See? Impersonations. That's what's been all the way down, impersonating. Look at Ishmael and Isaac, and all down, see? Impersonating. Look at the prophet Moses, and look at the prophet Balaam. See? See how they come down? Look at Judas, and look at Jesus. And Jesus predicts that this Holy Spirit in the last days would be the seal of God. Now, what would be the mark of the beast? Would be to reject the seal of God. For all that didn't have the seal of God had the mark of the beast. And if it's two spiritual marks, one of them will be a true mark of God, the other will be apostasy. Can you see it? Look at the mark in the Old Testament. When the trumpet blew the jubilee, ever so many years, the slaves went free because the trumpet sounded. Well, everyone that wanted to be free could go. But some of them, they loved to be slaves. So they took them to the altar and in the post of the church, and bored their ear with an awl, and they were marked forever. They always served that master. And today, you'll hear a gospel message on truth. Now you can be free if you want to. God speaks to you, but when you get up to that borderline here, and look over and have a knowledge of truth, and then turn away, he bores you. And the ear, and you'll always be an intellectual believer. You'll be religious and go to church, but never receive the Holy Ghost. Then you serve that the rest of your days. Now, the mark of the beast are the seal of God. And we're getting so close. Now look, the word has to be inspired. Hearing. Recognizing. And acting upon. Many people hear, but won't recognize it. God will say, this is the hour for you. I wouldn't be a holy roller. I don't want none of that. See? They don't recognize it. We'll go to meetings. The great Holy Spirit will move down. I was sitting there the other day when a vision came forth and predicted just exactly what. I said, here comes a young man. Come here. Motion to that waiter. You have heart trouble and you're looking for it. It's exactly right. See that woman coming out? Come here. You got tumor on the breast. No, it's on the left breast and you're in a very bad shape and you're a sinner. And exactly right. Those men sat there and looked around. Preachers and all that. Nah. Go to a meeting and watch the Holy Spirit. Go right out through the meeting and tell the secrets of the hearts. Thing like I say. Wonderful. Yes. See? Oh, brother. See? It's on the other side. There's something happened. Yeah. Women will continue to go right on and do the same thing. Man will go right on back like a hog to its water and a dog to its vomit. Just the same. Don't you see? I'm talking to see, you must realize then, friend, what condition you're in. That's the reason this tape I said to church only. See? To church only. If you've been called from life, from darkness unto life, from death unto life, from a formal intellectual conception of Christ to a born-again experience and watching your life that it lays the things of the world aside, you stand for Christ regardless. And something happened. See? There's something in you hungering and moving like it was Jacob. See? You wrestle with the Lord. You walk different after that. Something's different in you. You've changed. Now, it has, before it can be done, it has to be inspired to you. I don't care. I can stand here and preach till I got what hair I got left fell out. Till my shoulders stooped down and I was 90 years old and you listen every day. Until God quickens that to you.
Amen.
You're still in the same shape. 2 days I've been studying and praying on this. I said, Lord, should I say that to the church? Someone said, say it. The hour's at hand.
That's it.
Say it. I feel it be pulling me away pretty soon. So I want you to know it. No man can come to me, said Jesus, except my Father draws him first. Oh, I know you say you have God and Abraham to your Father, but I'll tell you this. Your father the devil, said Jesus. Religious man. Priest and great man. You are the devil, your father. See, notice the fruits of the Spirit. Now, see, it has to be quickened to you. I couldn't imagine Noah saying, you know what? It just must be, it might rain someday, so I'll just go out and build me an ark. If it rains, well, I'll get in the ark and move right away. And nothing will bother me because I'm going to get in the ark and move away. Could you imagine? No, that wasn't it. If that had been it, oh, may the elected hear it now. If that would have been it, the first scoffer come by, as the Bible said there was, scoffed at him, he'd have laid his hammer down and walked away. Like man does today that starts out with Jesus. And when they look over and see the truth, they back away from it. They can't stand it. Like that noted evangelist said, it'll tear up my ministry. I don't care for a ministry that the Holy Ghost would tear up. It ought to be tore up. Now, but see, it's pride. So much man, so much person. Oh, notice in this now, Noah was out in the field, and he heard, and he recognized, and he acted. No matter how many scoffers come, he built right away. Noah, you're a holy roller. Don't bother me a bit. Building away. He had heard, he had recognized it to be God. Judged it by the Scriptures. And it was so. He built right away on the ark, regardless. Could you imagine? Could you ever imagine this? That Moses on his way to Egypt got out one day and said to Zephora, his wife, Zephyr, you know what? I've polished up some on my grammar. I have got a little of my mathematics all straightened up. And some of my geometry and oh, many other things and my education. Since I've been herding sheep back here, I've polished up on some of that. I made a mistake down in Egypt. I think I'll go down and correct it. I think I'll go down. No. The first wave come against him, he'd have fell right there. What did he do? He forgot all he ever known about geometry and about his intellectual. It was the one got him in trouble. That's what's got the church in trouble today, is too many educated preachers without being born of the Spirit. Men and women like to listen to intellectual speeches instead of preaching the power and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what's got us in trouble today. We don't need any more high schools and education for preachers. We need God-called man that's filled with the Holy Spirit and not some man-made theology of some denomination. We need God-called man. Moses was herding sheep, settled down, and forgot. He knowed his intellectuals had failed. He knowed his education failing. He's herding sheep, but he heard. Oh, take off your shoes, Moses! The ground you're standing on is holy. He listened to it. What was it? The voice the angel had spoke was scriptural. He had promised Abraham, his father, I'll visit the people after they have been down here for 400 years and I'll take them out with a mighty arm. You recognize that that was God's scripture being made manifest. Let me stop a minute. Let this sink in. Can you see what I'm talking about today? God's words being made manifest right before you and you don't realize it. Think now of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think of the promise of Christ for the last days. Moses recognized it. It was scriptural. It was a promise. He heard. He recognized. Something come in him. Brother, he could go do it then. He acted. He could go down and stop ever Pharaoh. He could call plagues when he wanted to. He could open a Red Sea because he had heard. He'd recognize he was acting in God's fear. I'll be God to you. You be prophet to me, he said. And he said, I can't do it. He said, well, then you be God and let Aaron be your prophet. You must go anyhow. He never just said, well, maybe I ought to go down and straighten things up. Could you imagine Elijah on Mount Carmel? Said, you know, this land's awful sinful. Perhaps maybe I ought to go out and tell Ahab. He ought to be ashamed of himself. Maybe I ought to go up on the mountain there and sit down and just fast so long till them people get so sick and tired to see me up there starving to death. No. No, that wasn't it. But he heard. He recognized. And he acted. I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Get up there, Bethesda. When it come time for a showdown between Baal and God, he said, go get your sacrifices. Do anything to them you want to and call upon your God. When they cut themselves and had a lot of flesh and jumped up and down and had a lot of noise, he said, holler a little louder. Maybe he's gone pursuing somewhere. He might be asleep. Oh, brother. Well, you know what? He said, I'm a believer in Jehovah, so I can do this anyhow. Oh, no, don't you impersonate that. No, don't you try to be Elijah until God calls you to be. Yes, sir. I'm a servant of Jehovah. There's 700 of them down there, too. But none of them dared to do it. Then when he cut the bullock and poured the water on, he said, Lord, I've done this at your command. See, anybody else would have tried it. It would have been a total failure. It's got to be inspired to you. The Holy Spirit has to bring it and make it manifest to you. That's what's the matter today. You can't get up the altar and say, well, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, but brother, sister, when the Holy Ghost has inspired that word to you, you'll get it before you leave your seat. Amen. Something in you burn up. Well, preacher won't have to tell you do this and do that. The old leaves will just pop off and new leaves will come on. It's inspired to you. You won't get angry with the preacher when he preaches truth from the Bible. You'll love it. Reach for it. It's food to your soul. Even Jesus himself, he said, I do not what I want to do within myself. The Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father doing. The words, He was Emmanuel Himself. He was God on earth. Jesus was. He was the flesh that God dwelt in. He was the tent that God lived under. Amen. But in all of that, the virgin-born Son of God, Emmanuel in the fullness of the Spirit, He had the Spirit without measure.
Amen.
And yet in His own flesh, He said, I'll do nothing until the Father shows me first. Inspired to Him to do it. Satan said, turn these stones into bread and perform a miracle. Let me see you do it. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, my. But when a crowd was hungry, He picked up 5 biscuits and 2 little fish and fed 5,000. Oh, hallelujah. You see what I mean? Don't try to impersonate. That's what's the matter with Pentecost today. That's what's the matter with the church today. There's too many trying to impersonate they got the Holy Ghost. There's too many trying to impersonate divine healing. There's too many trying to impersonate different things of the Lord. You can't do that. That thing comes by election. God calling, you're a drop from the mother's womb.
Amen.
Gifts and callings are without repentance. Oh, my. That's true. You can't make yourself something you're not. But if God calls you, be the most thankful person in the world because He has called you. Then it becomes real to you. As I would speak if I had time on the squirrels the other day. I turned me around. I never seen it before. And I couldn't do it. Patty sitting back there looking at me. How could that ever happen? It couldn't have done it. But it was inspired, quickened. The word was spoken. It was made so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul, could you imagine saying, I've been out on his sea for 14 days and nights, and no stars or moon or sun or nothing. Guess I'll just go up and tell him to be of a good courage because God will take care of us anyhow. Oh, God don't work like that. God doesn't do that. Your faith's all right, brother. Your faith is wonderful. But until the thing's inspired to you.
Oh,
here's a red light hanging there. And if I see, I say, well, I've got my foot on the accelerator. I've got a car. I can go through that light. You're making 120 miles an hour. That's true. I can feel the power under my foot. But you better wait for the go sign.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you get what I mean?
Help us, Lord.
When the go sign comes on, all right. When the thing's inspired to you and God makes it known like He did back there, all right. But until He does it, we've got a bunch of Judatarians impersonating.
Thank you.
Walking along and say, well, I'm just the same as they are. I'm a Christian too. Oh, don't you remember the sons of Cephas? Cephas?
Yeah.
Went out and said, we journey to you in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. Come on. He said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?
Yeah, Lord.
The hour is coming when right and wrong is made manifest. It shows in the Christians today. It shows in the churches today. It shows in the peoples today. I'm holding you along. I want this to get to you. Paul never said, I'll believe I'll just go up and say, well, be of a good courage. No. What did he do? He heard. An angel. He knew that was the same angel that always spoke to him. He recognized. Then he acted. Went up and said, be of a good courage, for the angel of the Lord, whose servant I am, stood by me last night showing me a vision. That there'll be nothing lost on the ship. Be of a good courage. Go eat your dinner now. Everything's all right. Amen. When it's inspired to you. When God makes it right. I got a remark here somewhere I had wrote down. Here it is right here. We're at the end of all things. Let me just bring this in like this now in closing. I hope that God has revealed something to you. Look, everything's at the end. Someone asked the other night, I believe it was Brother Fred Stoffman. We were asking about how close the end time. Brother Demas Zakarian had seen that vision so manifest and come to pass 5 days later to the perfect. It is like dropping him out of his shoes. He called me. He said, how is Joseph? I said, all right. He said, does he see visions? I said, yep. He told me of David, Brother Woods' son, where he'd fallen on a motorcycle 3 or 4 days before it happened. Just exactly. He said, you know, those things follow families. I said, righteous or evil does. Either one. It follows family. And we were talking a little bit. And Fred said to me, where's this drawn from, Brother Branham? I said, look, Fred, let's take it by nature. God works in His nature. Look, watch what happened. The sun rose in the east. That's the oldest civilization we have is China. We all know that. The oldest civilization we have is China. All right? And civilizations move westward all along. And now, where would you leave if you left the west coast going straight across? Go to China. Exactly. We're at the end. The Bible said, the prophet said, there will be a day when it won't be night or day when the sun's a passing over, but in the evening time, just before it ends up over here, again, it'll be light. The same, Jesus said there will be a former rain and a latter rain. And the latter rain will produce both former and latter rain in the same season.
Yes.
We're at the end time. Look here. Let me show you. Politics is at the end. Do you believe that? Show me something today. This nation is the worst in the world for corruption, ungodliness. Who read the Courier Journal paper the other night in Louisville? When all these women pricking out each nation, the prettiest woman in the nation, stand them up to be Miss Universe. Everyone did but Russia.
Hallelujah.
And they sent to Khrushchev and asked him, why not? He said, Russia don't strip their women down to walk before men. A heathen, ungodly nation. Bringing reproach upon we who call ourselves Christians. Said, Russia don't strip their women to walk out like that. And you never see shorts or such stuff as that in Russia. That's the ungodly. We who call ourselves Christians. No wonder the Bible said ever tables become full of vomit. And who cannot teach doctrine and who's weaned from the breast? But precept will come upon precept and line upon line. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the rest. For all this they would not hear. We got our own intellectual conception. Oh, how good it could be to stay all day on it. Politics! Corrupted Democrats, Republicans, and all is low down. What is it? It's a bunch of graft.
That's right.
Every person works in it. It's not born again. It's of the devil. The devil said, every kingdom in the world belongs to me, and Jesus never debated with him. The world is controlled by the devil, and every man it works for the government. If he ain't a Christian, he's of the devil and working for the devil. These nations will all fall to Jesus Christ when he comes. There will be a millennium. Looky here today. What they're going on now, hollering at me about spending some money out yonder for Christians. And won't they give me 20 years in state prison for spending money to operate a religious move? And whiskey and beer and cigarettes right off tens of millions of dollars a year to corrupt the nation. Me trying to preach righteousness, standing in the door of Jesus Christ. And send me to the penitentiary for it. And take stuff like that of the evil, low down, smart intelligence, and let them write it off for television programs which corrupted the world.
Amen.
Sent women to the dogs.
That's right.
One of the greatest curses the nation's ever had.
Help us, Lord.
And they get by with it.
Yes.
They send me to penitentiary for preaching the gospel. Taking a few dollars out here to preach the gospel. That people give me to preach the gospel with. I'm not rich and I can't write that out.
No.
But yet they want to send me to the penitentiary. Hold me 2 years and got a trial coming soon.
Yes.
Oh, how low down.
Yes.
How filthy.
Yes.
God be merciful.
Yes,
yeah.
I'll say this one thing. Maybe that's the way God's got before he sends an atomic bomb.
Yes.
You have to do something wrong, you know.
Yes.
You have to touch his anointed one time.
Yes.
For this same scripture, let's say, touch not my elected. So if it has to take that to bring judgment, like it did in the days of Daniel or somewhere else, let it come. I'm your servant, Lord. That's right.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Politics, low down. Nation corrupted. Oh, look what they're going to put soldiers in shorts now. Oh, my. Politics, war. Politics is at the end. Dictators is wrong. Politics is wrong. Why didn't they stay with a godly king like God gave him, David? The great Lord of England said when this democracy is formed, said it's all right now, but it'll come the time. He said it'll be nothing. It'll be all sails and no anchor. And he's right. He said politicians stand on soapboxes on every corner with all kind of crooked things that corrupt the government. And the man was right.
Yeah.
Exactly what's going on. One man can go out here and go through here and get drunk and tear up everything he wants to and go down there and he knows everybody, so there's nothing said. Let a poor man or somebody I don't know try to do it and it's sent to penitentiary. Corruption, low down, filth. 40% of them homosexuals. Think of it. Sodom and Gomorrah again. There's the group. Supposed to be religious. I wonder what takes place next when the next president comes in. God give us one good godly man, Dwight Eisenhower. And I watch what the next one comes in. And we might have a rat the next time, sure enough. But there's coming a Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph. Remember that? I'll get to that in just a second. Politics is corrupted. We know that. War as that is in. Oh, they slung rocks one time at one another. Beat one in their head with stone axes. Then they shot bows and arrows. Then they got rifles and machine guns. Then the 88s in Germany and so big guns with us. Then they throw hand grenades and poison gas. But they got a hydrogen bomb now. War is at the end. Every nation's got them. So what are you going to do now? Even a little nation today, just crook a trigger. That's all you have to do. And she all goes up. War is at the end. Amen. War is at the end. Politics is at the end. Education's at the end. Juvenile delinquency is at the end. Children, ain't no hopes for children. They're done gone insane. You can't have no education. You can't go down here to school and get a kid with an education. He's a two-fold child more hell when he comes out than he is when he goes in. Let the teacher say something about it. He'll get killed. They'll form a little cluck and go out there and shoot the teacher. Take him out and string him up. We lost 2,000 teachers. Oh, wait a minute. I believe it's 20,000 teachers this last year. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to do it either. Now they got signs up every time. Give a college education to these kids. They do need it. But the devil's got them. The devil's got them. And it's not only just normal to go out and be mean and take a gate off and hang it up in a tree on Halloween night or do some little meanness like kids used to do or take a farmer's bug and set it out in the road. Not like that. But they're insane. They do things that's insanity. Shoot you, kill you, murder you, poison you. Anything. That's the next generation. Childbearing's at the end. Womanhood. Motherhood. Why, birth control practice everywhere and little dogs just tuck the place. Morals. There's no moral to it no more. Women. Dressing. Evil. Come through television. All kinds of impersonations of evil people of Hollywood. All kinds of stuff. Fashions, all at the end. Education's at the end. Politics at the end. Wars at the end. Civilization's at the end. All those things are at the end. My, what can we do then? What is next? We're at the end of all things. Now, the church life is at the end. The normal church, the church that... Now, this may stick just a little bit, but the church carnal, the Esau church, she's come to her end. What's she doing? Heading up in the Federation of Churches, which will finally join with Romanism to fight Catholicism to fight communism. Pope John is calling for all the churches to come back, and they will. And they'll unite themselves together just exactly what thus saith the Lord. You say, wait a minute, Brother Branham, you're getting off the line. If I am, God wrote his Bible off the line. You have to be Michael in this case. Amen. Mars Sorello said to me the other night, said, who is the Antichrist, Brother Branham? The Jew's the Antichrist. I said, Mars, ain't you a Jew? He said, they're the greatest God-haters there is. I said, Mars, don't tell me in the Scripture where the Antichrist come out of Jerusalem. The Antichrist come out of Rome. Not out of Palestine. He said, well, look, I'm their God haters. Yes, didn't God say he blinded their eyes so we could have a day of seeing? But our day will be over soon. He said, oh, Brother Bram, I never thought of that. See, there you are. See, we're at the end. The carnal world, the carnal church is at it end. Watch how it's heading up in the Federation of Churches. United Brethren went into them. The Pentecostal is into them. All the rest of them organized themselves. See, down them Canaanites, all the way down through those Esau spirits, very religious, and confederated themselves with the world. Not spiritual understanding, not able to overcome. Not elected of God to be called out and separated. If I could only make it, no one, if I could only push it down some way. They don't see it. They got eyes and they can't see, ears and can't hear. Oh, why are we so dull in the spirit? Now, listen to this. Everything's at the end. Spiritual church is at its end. She's coming to the end. Oh, God. Look back at her when she started with Luther. Shook down. The spiritual. Then with Wesley. Come to sanctification. Then with Pentecost. The Holy Ghost. And now, at the end time, the Spirit of Christ so in the church is doing the same works that He did. Right back to its head again. Ready for the church and Christ to unite in the coming of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the dead. We're at the end time. Jesus said so as it was in the days of Sodom. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Do you understand it? Look at the carnal church. Look where they're going to. Farther and farther away. Look at the Spirit-filled church. Shaking off all of its little nonsense. Coming up in the Spirit, in the minority, of course. Coming in the Spirit, but moving up into such a place. To, it's got there to where the Holy Spirit's moving right through it. Working its way. Ready to receive her Lord. Ready to receive her Lord. And the rest of them organized, going back into the world, stationed off. Going back into the Federation, moving up into that one great Confederate head under Catholicism. And there was an image formed to the beast. An image, something like it. A Confederation church formed with Catholicism. Them two together, work together. Who's able to make war with the beast or his image? Certainly not. How we could go through it for hours. Now, let me say this to you. And then it will be time to close. I told you it's going to be long. I just feel so wound up. When God in His said, these things said, tell them. Speak it out. Don't hold your peace any longer. Show it to them. If they don't receive it, then the blood's not on your hands.
Amen.
The hour is here. The time is all heading up. The world's at its end. It can't stand no more. The wars is at its end. You can't have no more war. If you have war, this first one pulls the trigger, that's it. Politics is rotten and corrupted. The church world is Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals. It's a hogs to its war. Dogs to its vomit. Right, every one of them. God calls out of that corruption a church that's elected. It's exactly. Esau said, we're the church. I don't doubt that. Jacob was Esau's father too. That's right. Isaac was Esau's father. Jacob was his brother with him. But one had recompense to the birthright. The other hated it. One heard, recognized, and acted. The other said, oh, as long as I go to church and do what's right, what difference does it make? There you are. Now, I say this then, I'm closing this. One more remark. The real church has so much to live for now. Oh, it should be such a jubilant time for the real church. For the true church. For the elected church, when you know in your heart you've passed from death to life, when you look at yourself and see, watch your life and see that all the things of the world's passed away, that you become a new creature. Listen now, I'm closing. Closely. You know that you pass, your life proves it. By their fruits you shall know them. Your whole objective is Christ. You're looking for Him to come at any minute. You walk in the Spirit, you love Him. You see Him working through you. Nothing that you desire to do, but He just does it Himself. Oh, what a time. It reminds me of the artist that went over to Rome to learn to be an artist, a young fellow. They noticed him. He was so much different from all the other American boys and girls and things that went over there to be artists and from the rest of the world. This one young man was outstanding. He was a fine fellow. And they noticed they'd have great big parties and get down there and how they do in Rome, just get drunk as they can be. I've been there myself and seen them. Get out on the street, men and women, and carry on even in the parks, have sexual affairs right in the park, right out in the open. England too, all the rest of them, see. That's no worse than here. Just the same thing here. Just about as bad. Only this covered up a little more here. Kind of policing thing. Now, but just horrible. Well, this young one fella, he kept himself away from all of it. When they go on their parties, he let them go. But he is learning to be an artist. So one day, an old caretaker, which was a Christian, that was around the museum, the art galley, he said, let's take a little walk, son. Let's take a walk. I'd like to talk to you while. He said, all right. So they went walking up a hill, and both of them with their hands behind them walked up the hill. The sun was setting. And so the old man said to the young artist, he said, son, you're an American. He said, I am. He said, you come here to get your education in art. I suppose you're aiming to make your life's work an artist. He said, I'm planning on doing it, sir. He said, I perceive that you're a Christian. He said, I am a Christian. He said, well, there's one thing I'd like to ask you. I've asked these others. They say they're Christians, too. He said, what makes you so different? What makes you different from the rest of these boys from America and these girls from America? What makes you so much different, and yet you all say you're Christians? He said, sir, you see the way that sun's setting? He said, I do. He said, way across the ocean, in a certain state in New England, in a certain city in that state, and in a certain house in that city, is a certain girl that I promised that I'd live true to. He said, that's all is on my mind, to get my education of art and return back to that girl who's living true to me. He said, that's the way I live what I do. Oh, brother, sister, you might wonder why that we don't care what they call us. I don't care what they say. I stand with Fred the other day down in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I was looking across the sea and noticed out that coral reef a half a mile out and big waves breaking. He said, flamingos walking in the garden and so forth. I said, he said, Brother Bram, this is like heaven. I said, but the sea will be quiet there, brother. I said, just across the sea yonder, there's a certain place called heaven. There's a certain one called Jesus in this heaven. That one day he took away all my sins, and I promised him I'd live true to him. I would do the things that he wanted me to do. That's the reason I'm not ashamed of his gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what makes a Christian live different. He is different because he's got something to live different for. Let us bow our heads just a moment. My dejected friend this morning, have you got something different to live for? Something to bring you out of the world? Something that means more to you than all the world is to live for Christ? If you haven't got that, why don't you receive it now? Just don't go to church and say, I want to be a good person. Don't do that. You want to be a Christian. You know, if there's something always been in your heart telling you, you're not right, but I want you to be right. You've always longed to be something that you're not now. Don't you know that's God calling to you? Don't turn your back on it. For if you was once enlightened and had the opportunity and turned it down, your last time there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Don't take up with Esau. Come with Jacob, regardless of what it's going to cost you. If it costs you your home, if it costs you your job, if it costs your husband, if it costs your wife, if it costs your children, if it costs anything, get the birthright. That's what counts. And if you feel that way about this morning and would like to have this birthright, I can't give it to you. God can, and He's the one that's talking to you. Would you just raise up your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Branham? That birthright I want. God bless you everywhere across. That birthright I want. Our Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, most noble and holy God, for all Your goodness and mercies to the sons and daughters of man. And we realize that we're at the end time. Nothing can go much longer. We're just waiting in barred time, like it was in the days of Noah, the long suffering of God, when the ark was being prepared, when only 8 souls were saved. You said, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And today, in this building, There's men and women raise their hands, boys and girls, young and old, have raised their hands and said, there's something tugging at me. Oh, God, may they never turn it down. May they sell their education. May they sell everything they got. Like the man who found the great pearl. It was a notable great pearl. It was the greatest pearl, and he sold all of his little ones that he might buy this notable great pearl. May they sell out everything that they got of the world this morning, all their popularity of the world. These women sitting here, Lord, many of them, that's heard the gospel preached so many times and still wade right on into the world and fashion like the world and dress like the world and go into parties and things that the world, partaking of worldly things and acting like the world and using the things of the world. Oh, God, may they be ashamed this morning. If there's any hope in them at all, Lord, turn it today. Let this be the hour. And these men here, Lord, oh, God, have mercy on them. Many of them still walking out in the things of the world, still desiring and enjoying the things of the world, sin, smoking, drinking, sociable drinks, a little beer on the side, or something like that, or would lust and hang little pin-up, filthy-dressed young women, and them bodies that they're looking at on the street, and they almost run over people to look at them, calling themselves Christians, and know that that form of that woman's body in maybe in 24 hours will be rotten and yonder in the grave. Bugs and worms crawling through them shaped and formed vessels of her body. And her soul yonder in the devil's hell for the way she lived. And yet she'd stick up her little painted lips and snigger and laugh at you. God be merciful to them people. Oh, Lord, don't let them be lost. Please. Have mercy and send mercy. Give each one of them, Lord. You're the only one who can give this blessing. And if you've called them to eternal life, may their hearts open up and they lay everything aside this morning. And then they will receive it. Grant it, Father. And now may the Holy Spirit come into this meeting for the sick and the afflicted. And let the people see that this message that's been preached this morning, at the coming and everything's at the end, and even Jesus working in His church. Let it come to pass right now, Lord, that you can take these people into your hands. And when they see the Holy Spirit working, moving among the people, may it be confirmed, the message that I preached, that we're at the end time. And may they hear, they have heard, and may they recognize that that same Jesus, the way He did it in His day, He's here doing it through His church in the last day. And then may they act by giving their lives and bodies and souls and spirits to Him. I give them to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now in the building where the people are, I sent Billy this morning to give out prayer cards. He called, are you sick, needy? If God will reveal to me, like He did the woman at the well, and tell me what your trouble or something about you that you know that I don't know, would it make you have faith to believe God? Would it make the rest of you have faith? Is this our first time meeting? Or you've seen me before, but I'm a stranger to you. Is that right? All right. May the Lord God grant your request. Now, is it real or not?
Oh, call out your intellectual religion. Balaam said, where's he at?
Elijah on Mount Carmel said, where's Balaam? Where's he? Wake him up. You don't have to wake Jesus. He's awake all the time. He's ever present, ever living, ever able. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God remains God. You believe your heart trouble is going to leave you and you're going to get well? You're not from here. You go back to Lexington and tell people what great things the Lord's done to you.
It goes over the top of heads of people and never get it.
Live church and grab that quickly and know that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here.
Praise the Lord. I do not believe that we can add anything, even in the least, to what we have heard. Each time we feel anew with what earnestness, with what devotion Brother Branham preached. We have heard the comparisons, especially yesterday evening. Today they have only been touched upon. But there are always both. The one worked by God, the other imitated. There is, as we heard, Cain, and there is Abel. There is the tree of life and the tree of death. I thought about this briefly, probably yesterday or the day before. The serpent's conversation with Eve was really about one main objective, and the announcement was, you will be like God. You will be like God. And that was it. People wanted to become like God, and they didn't understand that whoever wants to become like God, that it can only come from God and not through the serpent. But also today, everything is presented as if it were from God. You will be, you will be. You will not, unless God does it. Unless the thing is really biblical. And we thank the Lord who has brought us back to His Word. All things that God does, He does according to His Word. And all things that His servants do, they also do according to His Word. As Elijah could say, I have done all things according to the commandment or the word of the Lord. And thus it happened. Also we do not wait in vain. It will happen because God has said it in His Word. Also the clear language of Brother Branham about Rome, about the Antichrist, and so forth. The greatest Bible teachers, people who speak of being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, who speak with new and old tongues, who write all kinds of things and say, all of them are looking for the Antichrist everywhere, except where he really is. And I tell you, the seduction is so bad that you can hardly stand it. Also this we heard. It was also relatively new to me. I knew about the story of the tax that was imposed on Brother Branham. He took in a lot of money, and the checks were all made out to his name. But they were put into the church treasury. But because his name was on it, it was accounted for him, so to speak. And then one day, the charges came against him, and behold, the big problem arose. Brother Branham told me personally that they took away his passport. He could not leave the country. He was in great distress. I wonder why I have to be in the same distress. But God has His ways. He doesn't allow anything unless it goes past Him. And we heard that yesterday too. Judas, who was so close to the Lord and went out with all the others, and as Brother Branham says, cast out devils and did all kinds of things. And then Satan drove into him, and it happened. Beloved, we must be watchful and prayerfully persevere before the Lord and just believe God and not have any motives of our own. But we must always be concerned about God's word and about God's honor. The moment a person wants to achieve something for himself of his own in the kingdom of God, it goes wrong. Judas sold Jesus, but then threw away the silver coins anyway. It came over him. He probably knew what he had done. Beloved, Time has passed. God has been speaking to us. I probably said it or tried to say it last night. Because we are now witnessing that part in the plan of salvation, we have to go through all the things. What is happening to us now is what happened to others in their day. And so, it should not be strange to us at all, but rather we should be thankful that it is the way it is, because everyone else is left alone. Remember Revelation 12. The dragon stands before the woman, which shall bring forth the man-child. Everything else he leaves alone. But the church, out of which the overcomers are to be born, there is the trouble. There the dragon stands up, and there he wants to devour. There he wants to destroy. We simply have to classify and see this biblically. Maybe then I will also be grateful for everything that has come over me and over us. When I see in this the plan of salvation that is now taking its course, I think I said it in Zurich, if we read all the stories of the Old Testament and do not let them flow into the plan of salvation in the New Testament, then we have read them in vain. We can read about Noah, about Moses, about Abraham. We can read day and night. Unless a light dawns on us and it is revealed to us what it is actually all about, not just reading an incident, like now about Esau and Jacob. You could read that like a novel and then close the book and leave. But the Bible is not a novel. The Bible is God's holy word, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Here you go, Brother Russ. Faithful Lord and God, together we come to you, O Lord, looking up in faith, in weakness as we are, Lord. But you have promised, you are strong in those who are weak, and really you have given it. In the weak man Branham, you revealed yourself through him, O Lord. What a grace! As in the beginning, Lord, he could say to that man, the woman coming in now has a tumor on her breast. Lord, who could tell in those days? Only you alone, O Lord. Faithful Lord, my God, also in our days you have promised to be among your own. You fulfilled it, Lord, and revealed your word indeed and vindicated it, O Lord. We give you heartfelt thanks also when we consider what you have done on all of us, including my body, O God. To your holy name be the honor, the praise, and the glory, and the worship. Lord, bless my brothers, bless my sisters, bless us all here. Be nigh to us. Lord, baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, may everything be renewed in our lives. Lord, we old people who have been believers for a long time, we want to be renewed. We need your divine power. We need your closeness, Lord. We need you more and more, every day, every hour, every moment, Lord. We don't know when we will be called, but we want to be ready when you call, O Lord, that we can go with you, that we can be there where you are, O Lord. What good will it do us if we had walked, O Lord, to the meetings, if we could not be there? Lord, we all want to be there in your glory. We want to be with you. Bless us, Lord, and be with us is our prayer. And bless your people, near and far, in all peoples, in all tongues and nations. We also pray for all who are sick, Lord, and who need your help. Be thou with all, Lord. You know about all the need, O God. And that's why we pray, and we know you can give all that we need. Your holy name be praised and glorified. Amen.